Going back to the Old Testament text that was read for you today, it reads to us once again in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go. If we are fortunate enough, most people will have the opportunity throughout their lives to enjoy some of the freedoms that we have here in this country. With a few exceptions, I'm sure that most of us will attain some level of education. Many of us will get a job. Many of you will open a bank account. You may have a little bit of something, but at least you got something in there. And if you are fortunate, you may have some type of retirement plan. You will have the opportunity to travel, to see the world, to go here and there, and hopefully no one is bothering you while you are doing this. You have the right to vote and other things that this country affords. But as the young kids say, let's not get it twisted. Because everybody in this country will not have the opportunity to do so. Because we still find here in America there is system in place that continue to oppress certain people, and injustices are still rampant. There are people and communities even here in America that are still looking to be released from the burden of unjust systems. And they ask the question like the Israelites have asked, how long, O Lord, must I continue to put up with these evil things that are happening? The same thing was happening here within the text of Exodus. For we find that Pharaoh of Egypt was oppressing the Hebrews, finding out that they had to go ahead and make bricks without straw, working from sun up to sundown, not getting any type of rest. People falling over dead, picking up the next one, saying, you go ahead and do what this other person had done. Through rain and sleet and snow and bad conditions, losing family members, being talked about, being whipped and sometimes chained. We find out that the Israelites were having a hard time in the situation in which they found themselves. And not only did they find themselves in a difficult predicament, we also find that Pharaoh was not easy. Pharaoh was all powerful here of Egypt and was hard on them. Because in order to keep somebody down, you got to put your thumb on them and your foot on their neck. And knew that if he let up at any certain point in time, because the Hebrews were more than the Egyptians, then they would come and overtake him. So Pharaoh knew the rules of engagement and knew what it meant to keep the people down and to keep them begging for more. And you can imagine, as this was happening, Moses and Aaron were the ones who were in charge of letting the people go, getting out of Pharaoh. And they come to Pharaoh after Moses didn't want to, and after Aaron had assisted his brother. Going in front of Pharaoh, can you imagine how difficult it was for them to do this? That Moses and Aaron didn't have any power in the eyes of the world, but yet Pharaoh had all the power. Pharaoh had the power to kill them right on the spot. And could you imagine that these two walk into the palace of Pharaoh and said, thus says the Lord, you have to let my people go. Now imagine if you were Pharaoh. You look at them like they had lost their mind. What do you mean, let my work go? I'm building temples and kingdoms, and I'm building systems here for the people of Egypt, my people that can go to and fro and have water and move about. And the thing about it is, it wasn't like Pharaoh said no. Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord, and I don't care to know the Lord. And not only am I not going to let them not go, I don't even want to hear about your God. So he has a double negative up in here. I don't know the Lord, I don't want to know the Lord, and I'm not going to let the people go. We find out that Pharaoh was a bad boy. And he sure was going to let his work go. And who are you to tell me, says the Lord, who I don't even know, to let these people go? But yet we understand that his heart was being hardened day by day, not only by himself, but God had a portion of this as well. But we find out that that was not the end of the story, because when we find out that we're facing systems of injustice and oppression, we have two choices. We can either go along with it, or we can do something about it. And we find out here that Moses and Aaron still listened to the Lord, for the Lord told them, look, I want you to go back, and I want you to do this because I have a staff for you. You go in front of him and tell him that I'm going to throw down this snap. It's going to turn into a snake. And so sure enough, Moses and Aaron went, and they told him what was going to happen. Threw down the staff. It turned into a snake. And you can imagine everybody was there, oh, a snake. And this was not a garden snake, y'all. This is a big old snake. Okay. This is something that may, if you were scared of a little snake, could you imagine you saw something like this? You would be upset. It turned into the snake. But Pharaoh, remember, didn't care. Pharaoh like, well, that ain't nothing. I got some people that can do the same thing. So sure enough, his magicians and sorcerers and his special men came and did the same thing. Said, ha, I got you. But there was one thing that happened here in this particular passage, for we find out that the rod that Aaron had thrown down and his snake had swallowed their snake, which is a portent of things to come, by the way. But Pharaoh decided, well, my man did this. I ain't got to worry about it, so I can go on about my business. So I told y'all to move on the first time. You come back again, so get out my face the second time. And it said that Pharaoh went on about his business. Still, his heart was hardened about what was going on here. But yet, sure enough, we go to that, to the very first plague here. And sure enough, the Lord told Moses and Aaron again, or told Moses rather, said, look here, he's hard-headed. He is not going to listen, but you don't stop. You continue to do what I tell you to do. So he went and he met Moses. I mean, Moses met Pharaoh by the water and said, look here, this wasn't going to happen. I'm going to take this staff, the same one that was turned into a snake, and I'm going to hit the waters of the Nile, and all the water is going to turn into blood. And everything, all the fish are going to die, and it's going to stink. You can't even use it. And so I'm sure that Moses probably thought, well, if I did this, surely Pharaoh will pay attention. So sure enough, he took the staff, hit the water turned into blood. All the fish were dying. Everything stank, couldn't drink it. Now remember, back in an arid area like this, water is life, okay? So turn the water into blood, I mean, you can't drink it, it's gonna smell, it's gonna destroy everything. And what are the people going to do? So we find out that happened. But again, Pharaoh said, well, check this out, I can do the same thing. So sure enough, not only did they poison the waters of the Nile, but all the tributaries and all the ponds and everything else around. His men did the same thing. And then Pharaoh told them again, why are you up in here? I told you I'm not going to let your people go, and I don't know your God. And the text tells that Pharaoh didn't pay them no mind. Heart was still hardened, and he went about his business. But check this out. Pharaoh was going to hurt his own people to keep the Israelites enslaved. So you can imagine, for the next 7 days, all of the people, not just the Hebrews, but his people, the Egyptians, were suffering. They had to go out and find fresh water. They had to go and find something to eat. Now remember, they weren't eating steak every night now. They were eating fish and everything. And we find out here, they just had nothing to do. Those who are in power do anything they can to stay in power. You see, whether we believe it or not, this is a story from the Bible, but Pharaoh still exists today. Now some, I don't need to tell some of you, because some of you have a few more years on me, and you know what Pharaoh can do. And you can interpret Pharaoh any way you want. You know that Pharaoh kept you on one side of the tracks. You know that Pharaoh gave you hand-me-down books. in a broken down schoolroom. You know that Pharaoh allowed you not to go through the back door and not the front door. You know that Pharaoh kept you starving and down. And brother says this, Pharaoh still exists today. Some of us may say that Pharaoh is up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. You see, some of us today understand that Pharaoh is still in control, at least looks like in control. We find out, brothers and sisters, that as we woke up this morning, two mass shootings in a 24-hour period. 20 died at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and at least 9 died in a mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio, in an entertainment complex last night. Not to mention what happened in Gilroy, California at the Garlic Festival earlier this week. See, you would think that maybe people would get together and do something, even after Sandy Hook, because the kids were being killed up there. But Pharaoh is still gonna hold on to control. You see, we find out on July 16th of this year, just last month, the Department of Justice decided not to press charges against the City of New York police officer who killed Eric Garner, an African-American man who died after being restrained for selling untaxed cigarettes on a street corner. And if you look, my friend put some on Facebook, they had seen, it was a picture side by side, a picture of the cops having Eric Garner down. But then if you notice, when they arrested that young man yesterday in El Paso, Let me stop. We find out in communities of color, we're still faced with environmental racism, that our communities are still next to incinerators. We're still next to trash dumps. Still in Flint, Michigan, there is not clean water. Still having problems. And Pharaoh is still in control. We still find out that our people are still going through injustices from education, economically, socially. We still find out, even here in Southeast Raleigh, with the gentrification that's happening, that we're being disappearing off the map. We still find out, brothers and sisters, whether you have a lot of money in your bank account, whether you're driving the finest cars, and whether you're wearing the finest clothes with the best title job, don't get it twisted. Pharaoh is still in control. And Pharaoh is still keeping everything. Pharaoh is still keeping his foot on our neck. And yet, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, are still crying out, "Oh Lord, how long do we have to make bricks without straw? How long do we have to be out here in the hot sun? How long do we have to go with no breaks? How long until it takes for us to build this and we have to do something else? How long?" But brothers and sisters, like the Hebrews were crying out back in that day, we do know that trouble doesn't last always. We do know that Pharaoh's grip will not last forever. For yet something is going to unravel in Pharaoh. Remember I told you earlier about Moses and Aaron, their snake overtaking his snake? It was just a sign of things to come, that evil was going to be swallowed up by God to make a difference in the world today. You see, Pharaoh's power is going to unravel. See, because he thinks he has everything, but yet he finds out he's going to have nothing here in a minute. A few plagues on down the road. You see, we serve a God of justice, not one of injustice. We have always called upon God as a people when things have gone wrong. If we couldn't put our trust in anybody else, we know that God was going to deliver us from the things that we face. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but we had a hope that God is going to do something for us in our lives. And brothers and sisters, no matter what you're going through today, God hears your cry. God knows what you're going through. God knows that we are God's children and God will continue to love us and support us. And see, brothers and sisters, we still can sing and have hope. Many of you remember, a couple of years ago, we always had the Moral Monday movement here. And what used to happen during a Moral Monday movement, you see, the lawyers and the leaders of the NAACP used to come together, first of all, and they used to talk about the strategy, what was going to go on. And then what we used to do, we opened it up to everybody else to come in. And everybody else, they came from all over the state and sometimes in all over the country who came here, and they sat here in the sanctuary. But the one thing that I remember so often is that they had a woman. Now, this woman used to come in here, and to get us warmed up, she used to sing songs from the movement, if y'all remember that. And she would sing songs like, "We shall overcome, and I shall not be moved, and nobody can turn me around." And see, that fired us up. And all those people that were gathered here, they came from all over. They were from different races and different areas of the country and different areas of the state. And whether it was education, or whether it was Medicare, or whether it was civil rights, we all came together knowing that although things were not great in this state at that time, and still to a certain extent not, there was still hope that people will not be oppressed, that people will be released from unjust systems, that everybody will have some type of equality as we go forth into the world. Brothers and sisters, there is still hope. You see, no matter what we're facing today, the cry is still out there. Oh Lord, how long? But eventually, Lord will say, "Let my people go." That the Lord will touch the unjust system. But I do want to warn you of this. It's not somebody else's problem. We are the people of God. And too often what we do, we leave problems to be solved by somebody else. But we are the people of God. If you know what God has done for you, you ought to be able to go off and help somebody else. You see, the movement is not just out there. The movement is in us, because we serve a God of justice and freedom. And we have to be able to put our feet out there on the pavement and put our necks on the line, that somebody else may have something, that somebody else may have freedom, that somebody else may have a good education, that somebody else may have a decent cup of water, brothers and sisters. It is upon us that we may go into this world. And when God says, "Let my people go," it also saying, "You let my people go." That you work for their freedom and justice. You see, Pharaoh is not going to last forever, brothers and sisters. May not be tomorrow, it may not be next year, and it may not be in our lifetime. But we know the God that we serve is going to make it come true. The God that we serve is going to make equality for all people. The God that we serve is going to make sure that everybody has enough. But we have to be able to work for it as well, with the Spirit of God. Yes, let my people go. And may we praise God that the troubles that we face will not last always, but this God will hear, will show up, and will show out. Amen. Amen. Our invitational hymn is number 382 in our bulletin, "Somebody's Knocking at Your Door, and Now the Doors of the Church Are Open." Maybe there are some of you who want to give your life to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us here at David Street Presbyterian Church. Or maybe there are some of you that we need to pray for, that you're facing some obstacles within your lives, or you're facing something that's unjust, that we may let you know there's a God that hears your cry, and there's a God that will answer your prayers. If you are one of those persons, we ask you to come to the front as we all stand and sing our invitational hymn.